Welcome to episode 2 of the First Stage podcast. If you're looking at this podcast thinking it is a cancer podcast, let me please redirect you to the Stage 4 podcast. And I believe their slogan is when cancer gets fun. This is the First Stage podcast, and this is where we celebrate starting out with artists showing us their first stuff. And the second episode, I'm here with my host, who is also this episode's special guest, Caleb Davis. How's it going, Caleb?
Going good. I'm tickled to be here to put this thing out there and see, put it in the ethos and see what people think of it.
Sweet. How's your pandemic going right now? Anything, any exciting news? Because I know everybody's just like, oh, I did the same thing I did the last 3 months. Do you have anything cool going on?
Yeah, I actually got out of town this last weekend. I just lied to New Mexico, like went to Ruidoso, and they've got like a 14-day quarantine there, and it's like, nah, I've definitely been in quarantine.
I did that too. I did that a couple of weeks ago, and it was like the casino's not open right now, is it? Because the casino was open when I was there.
No casino, but I guess if you are rich enough, they would have let you in to the jockey club at the horse races. I did not. I'm not rich enough. I didn't do that. I guess the only advantage that I took of was like playing golf, which no one there was wearing a mask. So I feel like it's just on paper to scare people to go and to New Mexico, which is, I feel like people are already scared enough. They don't need that to add on to be like, oh shit, if we go, we got to stay 14 days. It's like, no, they're not.
Yeah.
On paper.
Yeah. When I was told by a guy there that the governor, like everybody's like against what the governor's doing and stuff. And like, it's a tourist town or whatever. So like some people like, they need this vacation in the mountains, or they are going to, or there is going to be something happening. So,
right.
I mean, as long as you're not like a jerk about it, I think we can live in this environment.
For sure. And I mean, it all had, you know, social distancing and masks and things like that. It wasn't just like a free for all, but I mean, I think that 14 days kind of a little excess, but what do I know? I'm not a scientist. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, and to think that you can even like control that or whatever and stuff. Cause like I had like backstories like, well, I was in Roswell for the last like 18 days or whatever. It's like, I'm good before this happened. So,
right.
But, it's just insane. Like all this stuff that's going on right now. I just dropped another one of my fun videos. I've been making these videos on the Texas State Park system. And if you go to the park site, they have like it's a real informational video, but it's also kind of dull and boring. So mine's not as informational, but also snarky and kind of like poking fun at those videos or whatever. But I've got those out there right now. And I just did, Lake Colorado State Park.
Colorado.
Yeah, because that's the way the people say it around there. If you say Colorado, then you're not a.
And they know.
Yeah, they know you're an out-of-towner.
That's right. Now they know that you've got a flat tire, or you've got a problem. You need some assistance or something.
Cause he's not one of us. Get him out of there.
You're not choosing to go to Colorado City. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. The last thing and the other thing I've been doing is I have watched so much Netflix that I've got to like the end. You know, like that stuff you put on the back burner of Netflix. You're like, I'll get around to that. Well, I'm now watching those things.
What is that for you?
Well, for me, it's that Puff piece by Tony Robbins, you know, like I am not your guru. He's like a self-help guy.
Oh my gosh.
And it's one of my favorite styles of documentaries, because it's a documentary that's produced by the subject of the documentary. So anything that's disparaging or weak is taken out of the documentary. So it plays as insane, and it's fantastic.
Hell yeah.
Have you seen it?
Like, no, I don't even think I've even seen a preview for it. So you must be in the deep, dark depths.
Yeah,
of...
it came out like four years ago, and it's still just hanging around Netflix. But it's like, hey, I see you clicked on this before. You kind of want to check it out. And I'm like, let's do it. And stuff, and so like there's this scene in the thing, and Tony's out there, and he's like a woman, and she's a woman's talking about this cuck boyfriend that she has or whatever. And so Tony Robbins is like, you're gonna get on your phone and you're gonna break up with your boyfriend right now.
And poor bastard.
And I'm like, this has got some real summer camp energy. There's no way this is gonna hold up at the end.
Yeah.
So the whole thing goes through. She calls him up and stuff, and then in the epilogue, she's like, so and so got back together with the boyfriend. I'm like, yeah, no shit. Like,
yeah.
After she got out of that, she's like, oh no, it's thinking. It's just like you go to camp and it's like, man, you and Ashley, you were a thing, and then you get back to school, it's just like, nah, she's back with the mean girls, I don't exist anymore. And
right.
And
oh my gosh, that's
awesome. I gotta wonder. wonder how that guy felt watching that. Because, I mean, Tony's just building it up. It's just like, you're with this guy. He's just like, he doesn't, you don't need him and stuff like that. And it's like, he's supporting you and you're a strong woman and stuff. And that's why you'll never work out or whatever.
Oh, my gosh.
He just watches that. And I'm like, well, I guess Tony was right. We're still together because I'm such a wuss.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, the only reference I have with Tony Robbins is, what is it, Shallow Hal. Don't get stuck in an elevator with that guy. He'll make you see hot chicks when they're not hot. Whatever that movie's
I'm
about.
I'm sure that was a class he taught, but he didn't want to put it in the documentary. It's just like, I don't want people to think I'm too crazy here. But
right.
The other documentary that's that style on Netflix is the Garth Brooks one, which is also fantastic. Like it's just like no one has a bad thing to say about Garth Brooks, which is hilarious. But what I learned about that, which I didn't know about, was Garth Brooks, like, he never wrote any of his songs that he sings. Like anytime it says Garth Brooks and another person, that other person probably wrote 95% of that song. And it's just like, he's just like at a bar and hears this, like, I like that song. I'm going to record it for you and stuff. And so like, there's all these artists and stuff. And so I'm like, Garth Brooks is kind of like the Filipino guy in Journey or whatever, you know, it's just like,
yeah,
just singing all these other songs that other people wrote. And, it's just crazy. I was just like, man, this, I don't know. It's just like, it's like when we're doing comedy and stuff, it's just like when you know somebody's like stealing jokes or doing other people's material, you're just kind of like, they kind of drop a few levels on you and stuff. And
right.
Like, but yeah, I mean, he's a great entertainer.
Shit, Lubbock loves the hell out of him.
Yeah. I went to the concert when he was here and stuff, yeah. You know, it's just like, and we all had a good time. But yeah, it's just like, I'm like, I mean, singer-songwriters, you know, it's kind of a stretch when
yeah.
it comes to more singer.
He's a singer-entertainer.
Singer-entertainer.
There you go.
Well, we'll go and get started in this like we like to do, or like I like to do, is I like to start off with a new theme song that I created. So this is a quick 9-second jaunt. Check your jokes and rage. This is first stage. Know you'll lay me sage. This is first stage. Yeah, so there we go. Yeah.
All right.
Pretty, we were almost going right into your thing here. But yeah, so yeah, like that. That was one I used a pre-recorded loop on that and stuff. So I also feel that's kind of cheating. You know, it's like I like my out of time loops. You know, they're just like, just like, oh, yeah, that thing you did or whatever and stuff is like that wasn't in time. And it's like, yeah, that's kind of my style, man. But
yeah.
But yeah, that was fun. And just to let people know, I have created a Gmail account. It is a firststagepod@gmail.com. So the number one, firststagepod@gmail.com. So if you want to send in, you know, your songs, your hate mail, you know, whatever you want to do, you can send it to that Gmail account and stuff.
Yeah.
And it might get read.
Send us that song that Garth Brooks stole from you and made a fucking $1 million on, and we'll talk about it.
The singer Todd Snyder has a story about that with the song Beer Run. He's just like he meets Garth, and Garth is like, he wrote that song. He's like, well, I wrote it too. And then he talked about how you change enough words and stuff, you don't have to give credit or whatever.
Damn.
It's pretty insane.
That's savage.
But yeah, and then we also have Instagram out there, which is where you'll see all the promotional photos that we'll take at the end of the show, and that is First Stage Podcast on the Instagram. So go ahead and check that out.
That's right.
No Twitter, because fuck Twitter. We're not going to get in trouble with it.
Yeah, you know.
I mean, there's enough stuff out there. If you want to read tweets, you know, look at the president or some shit. But
heard.
But yeah, we got that going now. But let's go ahead and get into your episode. You have brought me a recording here. And first off, is this the first time you've gone on stage, or is this just like an early one?
This is the first show that I've been on. Before this, I had done a couple of open mics in Los Angeles area. There was a couple that were trying to think. One of them was at a fucking bowling alley. And then there was another one that we did as... So, like, kind of backstory on this, I was living in Lubbock going to Tech, and I think, like, most people at Tech, kind of like what you talked about last week, you hit a wall, and you're like, fuck this sucks, I want to get chain of scenery, and, you know, you're partying balls, and you're not making grades, you're not going to class, so I definitely, like, failed out of Tech, and Tech was like, you cannot come back to school here unless you do this, and this, and I was like, nah, I'm not doing that.
That's impressive.
Yeah, so I was like, all right. And it was like this, I don't know, I had to write this huge fucking paper and things and, like, you know, prove to them that I had changed. So during that time, I'm like, you know, partying a whole lot. And I'm like, dude, I'm way too deep in the party scene in Lubbock. I need to get the hell out of Dodge. So I've got a stepsister that lives in California. called her up. She had always offered, and it's like, hey, can I come crash on your couch for a couple weeks, maybe a month or two? And she said yes. So I drove out to LA, and I didn't go out there looking for any sort of comedy or anything like that. I just went to get away from here to just kind of clear my head a little bit. Kind of like a little mini rehab, I guess you could say, because it's just, I was partying a lot. And I get out there, and one of the first things that she does is she just sets down this community college course that she signed me up for. It's like intro to comedy writing.
Okay.
And she said, you're doing this. This is one of my stipulations that you're doing and staying with me. And you're obviously going to get a job too. So I got both of those taken care of like in the first, you know, obviously I had couldn't give no for an answer. That was just exactly what I had to do to stay there. And I was like, sure, I'll do this.
Did you have any interest in comedy before that? Or was it, she kind of forced you into comedy? She's like, you got to take this class. I know you're a goofball and this will help or something.
I think it was, I mean, I always really enjoyed, you know, the obscene and just the ludicrousness of comedy, of just like, look, this is like, I've never really taken things super seriously or try not to. Mm-hmm. So it always intrigued me, but I don't think I was like a huge fan of it. Like I didn't get into like stand. I didn't watch a whole lot of stand up. I didn't listen to the albums. I didn't do a whole lot of that before I got into it. I mean, mm-hmm. I knew of them. I knew of the comedians. I liked them. I respected them, but mainly I'd watch them, like catch them on a movie or like on a skit or something like that, but nothing that I always like. I didn't know a whole lot of stand up hours or didn't listen to a whole lot of that. So I wasn't really consuming a whole lot of comedy content, strictly stand up speaking, but always was intrigued by it and always loved just being in that absurd world and realm of just like, you know, let's just make this as dumb and as funny as we can make things, and always were. Did seem to do pretty decent at that just in my everyday life.
Yeah,
so.
Kind of like the guy who, like, you know, it's just like, he's like, oh, I'll do this. And then, like, and then everybody, like, laughs and stuff. It's like, yeah, he ate the whole big giant sandwich or something.
Yeah. Holy shit. He ate that whole thing. Yeah. Tons of stuff like that. I mean, I was class clown for sure in high school and just didn't care. And, you know, it kind of, those two kind of ducks lined up pretty good. And so I was like, all right, yeah, we'll get into it and check it out. And, got into the class and met the instructor there. He was like a guy that was like, he was like an old guy that was on Letterman a couple times, and he like had his tape for Letterman for the show. So it was like, you kind of got this sense of like, he's teaching a community college class at like Long Beach Community College at this, you know, out in the south of LA, and he's just like living the glory days and just like, no, this is what you have to do. This is how jokes work. I was on Letterman. And he was real nice and helpful, but it was mainly just the camaraderie that kind of drew me to going into it. So we went as a class he suggested a couple of open mics, go, hey, y'all need to do this. Cause really the whole goal of the class was it's 10 weeks long. You go twice a week. And then later that summer he booked out of a show. And so that's what you're listening to, or what we're going to listen to, is me, the recording from the show that we all kind of built towards. And that it was like, all right, you get 10 minutes worth of time. You were going to work on these jokes at a class together and, you know, kind of start to finish and have a performance and a show at the end of it. So I went to a couple of the open mics in LA area. It wasn't anything serious. There was a few shows, and then there was one that they didn't like. I was from Texas, which was interesting. And I was just like, all right, like, okay.
Texism, huh?
Yeah. And it's funny how that shit's on the you know, it's on the other shoe now. It's like a bunch of Californians are like, we got to get to Texas. All right. You know, at the time, a bunch of people from Texas were going to California. But anyway, I survived it. It was just you know, open mic kind of, I guess they were like, well, this guy's, where the fuck are you from? And I was like, you know. From Texas. And they're like, oh, big boy. I was like, you asked me. Like, I didn't walk in there like, hey, give me that list.
Let me tell you, I'm from Texas first right off the bat. We are better than you. Okay, here's my first set.
Come here and eat this chewing tobacco. did a couple things. I'm really, really quick. And that was, I think, obviously a good dose of how things are supposed to be run. I mean, it was like, oh, this is your first set? All right, you get like a minute and get the hell out of here.
Yeah, so it was like a couple, like a minute here, a minute there, and then you do your 8 minutes at the end of this class or whatever.
Right.
And this was like, I assume that this was stuff that you've worked on every week in that class. And you're like, did he ever say, it's just like, you got this joke about poop, but really you should say shit or something like that.
He didn't really do that. But I did find it kind of funny, but like you'll see in my set, like it was a weird moment. Like he booked this show. You could tell like for him at the end. Cause he was like, well, I'm writing jokes with y'all during this class and I'll do the new set with y'all. Well, he didn't do that at the end. Of course he went at the end and he did all the stuff that you saw him do on Letterman. It was like the tight polished set from like 1982.
It's got like references that don't make sense anymore.
Yeah. It was
it's like those cigarette commercials are crazy, right?
Yeah. So that was a fun part of it, but I didn't really, he kind of was like, yeah, it's kind of, you know, protocol for you to not kind of curse a whole lot during your set. And I was the first, like, I was the first name drawn. I was like, fuck this. I'm in LA. I'm not going to not do my show on how I wanted to tell these jokes. So, I mean, it wasn't like I got booked for this gig. This was like part of like, hey, here's your graduation party. All your friends and family are in the crowd and let's do this.
So these are just like, these are people that bought a ticket to a show and like, they're just like, oh, it's like $5 comedy show. Let's go check it out. It wasn't like a bringer group from, I mean, I'm sure like some people probably brought family, but it was just like, it's like, hey, this is at the UCB or whatever for the night. And it's just
It was some, it was some little stage there. It wasn't a terrible room. You could tell that they've done comedy stuff there before, but it was just in Long Beach and they packed it out. I think it was like $5 tickets and they all went to the guy who put on the show and enough for like beer sales and stuff like that.
What year was this?
I was looking, it was June 11th, 2011.
Okay, so this is a couple years before I did mine. So
it was like 9 years ago. And then, before I got linked up with the comedy crew here, I kind of just got back and I did one gig here. And then it was like, I kind of sat on it. And then it was like, oh, this is here locally. And so then I started jumping into it after I kind of went and checked it out and saw it was something that I wanted to be a part of, so.
Okay, well, let's get going on this. Let's check this out. This is in LA.
Oh, just quick lead in. It was on a DVD, so I pulled this audio off of a DVD, and so my intro and like the first 30 seconds of my joke is just, it was scratched, so I had to like back it up to this point for it to even get the audio off of it.
Okay.
So it's going to just jump into something, and then it'll take off from there.
All right, here we go.
Whatever it is on there, we're going to take it up with those guys. But you know, I've been working a little bit. I'm from Texas. Which is Lubbock. No one knows where that is. If I had to reference that, I would say Barry Bonds' ball sack was the size compared, and Barry Bonds was L.A., then LBK would be his ball sack. But, moving on from that one. I've been a little bit employed out there. I was out here taking the class. It was an awesome class. Jonathan, it was a great time. I was employed at a baby pageant, believe it or not. And what more appropriate to have working at a baby pageant than a mustache. So, I received multiple phone calls registering babies, and, it gets a little redundant after a little while. There's only three of us in the office, so we've had over 1,000 babies registered in this baby pageant. I like to have a little fun with it, you know. First off, I'd answer, like, baby pageant, what do you want? Baby pageant. Baby pageant. Now I started having fun with it. Baby pageant? Lubbock area baby pageant, how can I help you? And they would answer, and then, would you like to register your baby? Sure, I'd like to register my baby. And ask them just some typical questions you ask registering some babies. You know, what is your 2-year-old's favorite hip-hop artist? If your child was left alone, would it be able to fend for itself for more than 7 hours? Just some of those normal questions you would ask at registering some babies for a baby pageant. But you got to be careful talking about kids and stuff like that, and especially rocking a mustache at a baby pageant. You know, I've had the opportunity to live with my sisters in the house, Erin Williams, or if she wasn't Erin Williams, she's not Erin Williams. But she has a couple kids, and she let me shack up with them while I was out here. And, you know, I was sitting around the house, and my niece walks up to me, and she says, "Hey, Caleb, let's go have a weed party." I was like, "What?" And I look over at my brother-in-law, and I was like, "What? Yeah, let's go have a weed party." I was like, "Better answer this with a little bit of discretion here." So I said, "Of course, Bonnie. I would love to go have a weed party." Anyway. That was a flop. A bunch of my friends told me, "Don't go out to California and flop on that stage." And I was like, "Well, what do they mean? Like, you want me to do the belly flop? I mean, there could be a big market in the belly flop competition if they just had the right commentator. You know, I think if they would hire Charles Barkley to be their commentator for the belly flops." "Hello, guys, welcome.
Bail me out, Charles.
Welcome to the pool, bunch of pool guys up here. And there's going to be a big old belly flop competition. And you know we're going to be just being a bunch of pool guys up here. So I don't know what kind of championship ring we're going to be given. It's going to be the world. Wait, this is the national belly flop competition, but wait, this isn't a world championship. I'm confused again. I don't know what I'm saying. TNT gives me all the things I have to say. You know, if there was any way to get those guys, you know, Arnold and Wiener guy, with the scandals that have been going on, you know, if there was any way that I feel that the American people can get a little clarity and a little justice in it, to put those bastards on Maury Povich and have a lie detector test and put them in that little shoe. Arnold, you were asked, have you ever cheated on Shariba? You answered no. The lie detector determined that is a lie. What? I never fucked her! That's not my baby! I don't know where you're getting these facts from! This is not true! Going back, I gotta say, you know, another scandal that's kind of been sliding off is Mr. Tiger Woods. Yeah. And I hate to see him not in the tournaments. It's not good for golf. So I've got a little bit of advice for him. You know, he was cheating on his wife. Shouldn't have done that, you know. But now that he's not with her, start fucking those bitches again, dude. You won all the tournaments, fucking all those girls. Why aren't you back in the saddle and knocking out 63s on round three, you know? Like, just go back and get into it, man. You had all those girls on you. But, you know, speaking of girls getting on guys, I got to talk about this boy that I know back in OBK. Well, he ain't no normal Texan, I'll tell you that much. I had spent some time working at a barbecue joint there, and we had a guy come in there. We referred to him as Choppy Baby. And the reason why we referred to him that, I don't know. But basically, he walked in. First day I ever saw him walk in, he walks in, just keep in mind, this is a barbecue joint. He walks in, and he goes, "Say, baby, give me a fucking pizza pie and a goddamn Coke." Okay, well, this guy's obviously a character. And he continues on. You know, oh yeah, I'll just give you the fucking regular choppy bite. And to give you an idea of just how he set up sentences, he says, "fucking," says something that makes nothing, no sense whatsoever, and ends it with "baby." So he's like, "fucking Amarillo, Texas is the Austin, Texas of the 1920s, baby.
Take that out."
And, you know, this guy will just go on tirades. I mean, he'll be like, "I can't show my fucking face in all the major cities in Texas. Everybody knows my mother, baby. I mean, fuck. You give me a guitar player with this hair and this flowing great face, I'll be the best singer in town. No matter, I can't even sing, but I'll be the best fucking singer, baby." So, you know, that's Yeah, then he goes on talking about all the hookers he used to have. Now, obviously a guy this sort of stature had a pretty legitimate job growing up. So he'd be like, hell, you know, Austin, Amarillo, Dallas. I couldn't show my fucking face in those towns, but everybody knows who I am. I used to run hookers everywhere. They know who I am. But, you know. That's my chop big baby from Texas. Love Texas. And he does reside there, so if you ever want to come and visit, find my contact information. And I'm getting a signal here. And I can get you hooked up with Chop Big Baby out in LBK, baby. But it's been a pleasure. I haven't attempted to pleasure this many people at one time. So thank you.
Was like, he works birthday children's birthday parties, and he hit me with that line of like, he's available for kids parties if you're wondering.
yeah gotta get that little tag in there. So was he the host? The
that guy was the host. Okay. Yeah, he was the host.
so yeah, that was a fun time. Yeah. I love how anyone who's from Lubbock, as soon as I get out of Lubbock, you make fun of where the city is and how nobody knows what the city is.
Yeah, no one
like,
knows.
Because if you get a call or whatever, like, there's just like, you know, we got something in Dallas that's close to you. It's like, that's 5 hours away. And like, the joke is Lubbock's 5 hours away from anything. So yep. Like, so it's not close and nobody knows it. But I thought that was a good set. I thought it was fun. I think I remember hearing you do that baby thing, baby pageant thing before.
Yeah, I did the, because it's just such a peculiar, it's just such a weird story and it's real. And so it's like, I've revamped it more than this, like at least like 5-6 different times to make it better and quicker and just kind of get the point across. But it's such a, like, people are like, this guy, is this not real? What the fuck is this? So it's such a strange, unusual experience of mine. So I like, I've got it there and I haven't gotten it to where I want it, but it's a funny story that is real in my life that I've got to get kind of very much ironed out and be like, hey, you know, baby.
Yeah. Pageants. Yeah. I mean, like, that's a baby pageant. And like, I mean, cause that just adds more questions. You're like, wait, what goes on at a baby pageant? And it's just like, and like, who's allowed at a baby
yeah,
pageant?
Yeah. It's really strange. Like, yeah.
Saying that you had a mustache, you know, it's just like, I'm like, everybody probably thinks he's a pedophile. So
yeah.
Like, I mean, based on that, that's good premise for a joke. I like it. And then of course, you talk about the weed party. I guess that was like a still common, like it was cool to smoke weed in 2011. It was like normalized there, right?
But
rest of the world was kind of catching up at that point.
And I totally missed my cue on the joke, so it was just a total flop of a joke because I was gonna say something along the lines like, she was saying weed party, but she's like 4 or 5, so she was saying weed party.
Oh, okay.
Let's see, have like, a weed party. Okay. And I did not construe that across
that
at
makes
all.
More, yeah, because when I heard that, I just heard your sister say it. And
yeah.
And I didn't realize it was your niece.
My niece. So I didn't even, I just used her name instead of like, it was really, I mean, what I've kind of like taken from this set is like, there's a whole lot of me being really loud and like saying words. Like I really like, obviously at that point in time, I love saying baby pageant. Like I just like the word. And there's just not a whole lot of substance to the jokes. It's like, all right, if I can just get into this situation and be a goofball, people are going to laugh at me.
I just want to get to the point where I can say baby really loud and act like a baby on stage.
Yeah.
Did you do like, were you doing a lot of physical stuff while you were doing this? Or?
I was kind of walking back and forth a little bit. On the Barkley flop deal, I pretty much like acted like I was going to do a full flop.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then I
like
caught
like...
myself on the chair. I was a lot more fit. Like I can pull it up and you can see it. I think I was like, I was definitely under 200 pounds at the time. So it's like,
nice.
I'm a big boy now. So it was like, Lindley saw it. My wife saw it the other day and she was or just today. And she was like, oh my gosh, what year is this? And I was like, hey, fuck you.
Where's this Caleb?
No, yeah. I was like, yeah, this was 2009 years ago. You're looking at over 9 on this
one. Like
one.
You wouldn't want to date that guy back then and stuff. Like,
yeah.
But that's funny. Cause like you do that, you do the Charles Barkley, which you'll bring up occasionally in sets and stuff. And it's a good Charles Barkley. I always like it. And the crowd always loves it. Everybody loves making fun of Charles.
See, yeah, like, he's easy. It's easy. It was like, bail me out in the situation, please.
It's like a good back pocket. It's just like, let's do a little Charles Barkley. And then it's just a good timing thing. It's just like when we get to the NBA playoffs or something, you know, because like Charles is everywhere or whatever.
Yeah.
And which are about to start. go Mavericks.
Yeah, go Rockets.
Yeah, let's see what happens.
You got the Doncic.
But yeah, I thought it was pretty good. Like it seemed like you had confidence. And outside of just like not really knowing what the weed, like knowing the weed joke was from the niece, I thought it went pretty well.
Yeah.
Did you get off stage? You're like, I fucking crushed that. Or like,
I was like,
you got some good crowd responses. So
I was like super pumped when I got off of there and like went back to like the green room and like, I could tell like, I don't know, like the rest of the class like didn't do very well at all for the rest of the evening.
Like, wow. So you like randomly, came out, hit a home run right out of the gates. And then the next guy was
that's
just
how
like,
kind
of
felt. Yeah.
Where's my punchline? You know,
yeah, like, because I didn't think like, I don't know. I think I was maybe a little bit held back a little bit like in the class, but see, it's like going full out. It's like, no, like whenever I'm up there, like I'm going.
It's my time. And this is my fulfillment to my sister. So once I get done with this, I'm going to go party it up in LA.
Right. Yeah. And so, I mean, I didn't say like, I wouldn't say that I rolled in there. Everybody was like, oh my gosh. But it was like, everyone was like, oh shit. Like, why did you go? Like, because it was just a random number. I think he should have put the set together based on his students instead of just going, all right, grab a number out of the hat. Woohoo.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I mean, like we, since we've done mics so much and stuff, there's like an art to like a set list like a list of people.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes you can have like three people that are low energy go after each other and it just kills your crowd. And you like,
sure.
You need that one loud bombastic person in the middle just to like, you know, slap them in the face or whatever and keep the show going.
Yeah. Like wake up, stay on.
But you also don't want that guy to start, you know, it's just like you don't want the energy to be so high that you're just like, I'm just like, oh man, we got this guy who's really funny, but he's real quiet. And like once you got a super loud guy going on, it's hard to get that attention back on. It's just like, oh, I need to listen to all these words that this person's saying when the other guy would just be like loud and like, well, pussy, you know, like,
yeah. Like, I don't like silence, pussy.
But no, I thought it was good, man. Like,
I appreciate
I guess we can go ahead. Let's get into the questions here. And my first question I have for you is based on the set. Since you have a lot more experience now and stuff, if you went back in time and talked to your former self or whatever right before you went on stage, what kind of advice would you give yourself? Like, or would you be like, don't do this. This comedy thing's a trap or whatever.
I think that if I were to go back, I would just say... I would probably just say you don't know this now, but you're going to be thankful that you did this. Cause I was like, I was really, really nervous. I think I know I can hear it in my voice on the recording. And then you can definitely see me being really kind of awkward and nervous, like on the, cause it's a video taped set.
We get a Patreon going some point in time. We'll put that on the Patreon. So
hell yeah, Patreon that shit up. So I think maybe just go, hey, you're going to really take and just not be super afraid of like doing really any type of set after this, because I was like, I was kind of freaking out a little bit about it, because it was like, it was a pretty full room, and you know, there was a whole lot of kind of leading up to this moment and a lot of pressure. I think there's a lot of added pressure, which I don't know if I ever ran a class, which I don't want to do that. I don't know if I would be like, in the to pass or fail the class, you must do your 10-minute comedy set. It's like, damn, that's a like,
yeah, that's
fuck that.
Well, and being and doing comedy and stuff, like if you were a comic, you would almost want to fail the people that did really well. It's like, that guy's better than me. Fuck him.
Yeah, like, yeah. But I guess it would just be more of just like encouragement of just like, yeah, just do it. Trust yourself and just go after it. And I think that would probably be what I'd say. And just hang in there. Don't like, I'm sure, like, I'm pretty sure I went after and looked at my set and was like, oh, you missed that one. You missed this one.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you're really hard on yourself. The first, like, you need to like really eat shit a few times and then you're just like, okay, we're good. And once you have that really, really bad night, you're like, yeah, that wasn't the best, but you know, you don't have to beat yourself up about it. Cause I remember I used to do that too, where you would re-listen to your set that you did and stuff. And you're just like, it's just, man, I don't even know why I'm doing this. Like, and like, cause there'd just be some nights that you wouldn't have it, or it'd be dead room, and you got two people and neither one of them laugh, or everyone laughs but one guy, and you're like, why did that guy not laugh? I don't get this.
Oh, like, it's like it's a whole laundry list of shit that can go wrong. And yeah, it's just like it's super hard, and it just pisses you off, or it just gets one small thing off can get you, and
yeah,
you're just
yeah.
like down on yourself and you're just like,
it's like reading the comments on like videos and stuff. It's just like you don't focus on all that was awesome and stuff. It's that one guy who's just like, it's like, man, screw you, this is crap.
Right.
All right, we'll get into this next question here. For people that don't know Caleb, he's got a real good pulse. Like you kind of saw in the Charles Barkley of creating essence of a guy, the guy or whatever. And like in town here, you did a really good Bart Rager, which for people who don't know, he's your typical like bombastic car salesman guy. And he's currently in indictment on one of the largest frauds ever. So it was just comedy gold payoff. And my question to you is do you think there's going to be another guy like that in town? Like, do you think there's going to be like, do you feel anything coming up? Like, do you think it's going to be like the mayor or something, like to where it's just like this next guy that's going to be right for parody and like making fun of and stuff like that?
Well, I would say I'm not going to try to force it, because I think that what we had with Bart, like even for people that didn't like him, like he was so much fun to not like. And then the people that loved him were like, this guy's freaking awesome. He sponsored my little league team and I got a new car and all this shit. So it was
other people's
like,
money.
Yeah. He was like the perfect villain / like superhero, like out of this world, like third world character. And he just like lived up to it all the time of just like, God, fuck that guy. And you'd be like, God dang, did you see what he did? He was great for that. So I don't know if we'll ever, I won't say that we won't ever not get a guy like that, but it's big ass fraudulent shoes that they're gonna have to fill.
Yeah, you need like a real ego guy who just wants to be TV all the time, because I mean he was everywhere. He was on Billboard, like you couldn't escape him. Even when you thought he was gone, he would show up in like a commercial on like, you know, some way off network that you didn't even think you could get ad space on, and he would just be like, he's like, I'll sell you car, you know.
Yeah, and it was like, I just wanted to know what would have happened if he would have gotten, like, don't get caught for, like, another 10 years. Like, let him get big enough for Texas. And then I wanted to know what everybody in Texas thought. And then, like, let's get him, like, a couple of, like, national dealerships. Like, let's see. I wanted to see what would have happened and, like, more people exposed to just who he was and, like, his everyday tomfoolery.
We could have gotten
like
too big to fail kind of situation stuff, which we're seeing in the higher offices with all the Epstein stuff. It's like, you know, there's like there's people out there that just like are just super protected, and so he could have gotten so big that like it never would have happened.
Yeah, that definitely could have happened too. But I don't know. I mean, I'm hopeful. I think there's going to be some small time, some quick risers, but they just won't have the staying power.
Yeah,
it'll be fun to make fun of them, you know, just to see them on there. I mean, I think for right now, like, you know, it's just not as fun as it used to be of just like making fun of local shit.
Yeah.
Because that's always going to be like a passion of mine. Cause it's like, you know, don't take yourself too seriously.
Local jokes get local work, you know,
and
people love that stuff. Like we have some crazy weathermen here on stuff. And so when you make jokes about the, you know, whichever one you're talking about and stuff, like it always gets a good crowd. You know, it's just a fun thing. It's just like, hey, this is just for you guys. You know, I'm not taking this any further. But it's fun to have that room where you can do that. But I also wanted to mention, if anyone wants to look up the Bart Rager tapes where he's on the phone or where he's berating his staff, it is fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, if you find those on the internet, because like all he does is like flaunt how like great he is and how he has a plane and a house and like all this stuff. It's pretty fantastic.
And he like, and just to show you like how he made it like even better was like, he sponsored like 75% of like the little league teams.
Oh
in
yeah,
town. So it was like
United Way, like all the stuff. Like it's just like we don't know if we can survive this year because he's using all this fraudulent money. To like, you know, do all these great things for the community. So it was kind of almost like a the cocaine guy, Fidel Castro or whatever. That's all right.
No, the
mixing myself. The Narcos guy. But anyway, like, and he would do
Escobar.
All Escobar, yeah. Fidel Castro was like, you son of a bitch.
I want my cut, god damn it.
But because like he did all these great things for those poor communities and stuff. And then on the other side, he's killing people and all that other business.
Yeah. But, Bart's as close as Escobar as Lubbock's ever going to get, except for instead of like cocaine and making everybody like really, really like, high all the time. It was just like driving a new F-150.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny because, I mean, that impact hurted me because I bought a Mitsubishi and he owned the Mitsubishi dealership. So when all that stuff went down, they closed the Mitsubishi dealership down. And that's where I'd always get my service done because when I would take it to other people, they didn't know where stuff was on the car. And so I just got, and so like, I'm just like kind of hanging on a thread here. And it's like, car, just stay alive for another 10,000 miles and I'll get something new. But
yeah. And yeah, I mean, that was like, it was one of those that, I don't know, at least a joke that I did where it was like, you know, I would even go out on a limb to be like, I can't believe this, like, this is who you have chosen as your spokesperson and your person for Lubbock. Like, what happens whenever shit hits the fan? Like, and it happened, and it was like a huge, like, ripple effect across, like, our entire community, and it's, like, insane that some dipshit guy is like, come back forward, cocksuckers! Like, he changed our entire, like, community outlook.
Like lots of signs had to come down, like buildings had to be renamed, stuff like that. It's just crazy. Like it's just like, oh, we're gonna have to chisel that off. Yeah. All right, my next question here. I had a lot of fun writing this one. So we're currently living in this cancel culture right now, and right now the ramblings of the next like industry that's gonna get hit with a bunch of people getting canceled is the professional wrestling industry. So my question is, who would you be cool with getting canceled, and why is it The Miz? No, I'm just kidding. I just wanted to talk some shit about The Miz, just because he was on that. Miz. He was that Real World guy back in the day. Yeah. I'm that old to remember that. But anyway, like, who's a guy that, like, if he was wrestling right, and then like he got canceled, and you're just like, man, I'm cool not to see that guy on the ring anymore on the mat, because I know you grew up with wrestling, right?
Yeah, watching wrestling. Grew up watching wrestling. I mean, I'm Lubbock white trash. Love that shit. I'll tune in every once in a while.
It's not the same without Ziggy. Crowd.
It's something Ziggy something.
Ziggy Stardust? Does he come out like just like David Bowie?
No, he's got like a real, he's kind of got like a Shawn Michaels kind of look.
Oh, okay.
He has like a kick and this was just from personal experience. I went to the wrestling deal maybe 2 years ago.
The local one here, like the house WWE show or whatever?
Yeah.
With Roman Reigns or whatever?
Dolph Ziggler. That's his name. Dolph Ziggler. Fuck that guy. Cancel that dude. He's a douche. Dolph Ziggler. And so we're like, we get passes to go down and meet the wrestlers.
Oh, that's cool, yeah.
And, of course, they, like, send us, like, not, I mean, they already have the B team there. There's, like, you know, John Cena's there, but they've got him, like, in some, you know, cryogenic chamber, like, you need to be ready for Raw next weekend in, you know, in Indianapolis because it's a sold-out crowd. Fuck Lubbock. You're going to come out and just pump up the crowd and drop an elbow and leave.
Yeah.
And, but, like, we go meet these guys. I don't even remember their names, but we're leaving there, and I look, and I notice the guy because he's got this huge, slick, white mullet. It's like a bleached mullet, so I see him, and he's, like, about to pass me. And I just give him a little shoulder tap, and it wasn't like I, like, smacked the guy, but it kind of popped a little bit because he's wearing a leather jacket. It was I was like, Ziggler, welcome to Lubbock, and I gave him, like, a little pop. And he stops, and I'm with one of my best friends in the world, Max, and he stops, and, like, with his whole body, he, like, does, like, this wrestling move, like, his whole body, he, like, reacts to, like, breathes in, looks over at his arm, looks up at me, and he's like, points his finger at me, and he's like, you don't fucking touch me. And I was like, I just stopped. I was like, what? And he's like, you don't get to touch me, bro. And I was like, Jesus. And like, me and my buddy Max like turn around and we're like, dude, fuck you, dude. Like,
he's like, you know, you're at a wrestling show in Lubbock, Texas. You're not the guy who's gonna be on Raw or whatever this week.
Yeah, so it's like, he's a total heel and like a total douchebag. Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
maybe just playing up to. He's like, I got to be a douchebag to everyone. I cannot be out of character. It's just like, yes, I want fries with that, you piece of shit. You know.
Yeah. So maybe if there was like a cancel situation where like he sent like his dick to like somebody in like a really bad city, like hell here. Maybe he sent his dick to someone here in Lubbock. She comes out with it and he's canceled. I would laugh my ass off. I'd be like, good, you deserve it, jerk. You should have gone. What's up, dog? That's it.
And I should point out that we don't want anything bad to happen to anyone and stuff, but bad things have already happened and stuff, and so I assume that, like, that if it did happen already, then cancel that guy. Cancel the Zig.
Yeah, cancel Dolph Ziggler.
Cancel son of Zig Ziggler.
Yeah, Dolph Ziggler. You know, go fuck yourself.
All right. My next question is, I stole this from Matt Villegas, who stole it from another podcast. So shout out Matt Villegas and Clemente's Corner. It's like basically all the shit that's going on in Amarillo with comedy. He's got some pretty fun people on there and rappers and shit like that. Right. But if you could make everyone in the world do something for 30 days, what would you make them do?
Oh, shit.
Like, for me, I would make everyone travel to a country that they don't speak the language, because people need perspective in this country.
You know, yeah, that'd be a good
across
one.
The world.
They had to do it for 30 days.
Yeah, yeah. You can get by in a couple days, but you know, yeah. A month, you're going to have to find a way to eat. So you need to quit being a jerk or whatever.
Yeah. Made everybody do it for 30 days. I would say, just because I get a whole lot of joy out of watching them, and they're like super ridiculous, it doesn't matter which one it is. You could watch the same one for 30 days, but for 30 days straight, you got to watch an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
Oh, nice.
I don't give a fuck what it is. For me, it would probably be a whole lot of Total Recall, because I cry laughing like 80% of that movie. Or, you know, Jingle All the Way.
That's a great good one.
Put the cookie down. yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger for everybody. That would be good.
He's got a good collection. Like, I could easily do that and enjoy it. Like, I love Twins. That's a great movie.
That is,
you know,
a good one.
Danny DeVito. Like,
Danny, yeah.
The one he did recently, I wasn't too much of a fan. Killing Gunther or whatever. That was a little too on the nose or whatever. I don't know. Comedy. Like, I don't know. He can do comedy and stuff, but I just felt that one didn't really hit with me like some of the other ones. But
I saw that one, but I didn't watch it. I was intrigued by the intro to it that they had. I think it was on Netflix. I think it is on Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix or Amazon Prime. It's one of those.
Yeah. Yeah. But I liked the preview to it because they had a bunch of comedians.
Yeah, yeah. Because
it's Josh Gad.
It's one of the guys from SNL that directed it.
Yeah.
Talon or whatever his name is.
Yeah, so I was interested, and then, yeah, I don't know. I kind of looked at it. I was like, this has got to be a huge turd. It's just got to be a turd.
Play back to me saying I am at the death throes of my Netflix queue, so I have watched that. So, so yeah, I like that one. That would be fun. That would be something fun for me. But I'd probably choose Steven Seagal just because it's even more unbearable.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Well, I want to bring people joy.
Oh, yeah.
Not just go.
I mean, it brings me joy, but almost in like a fun, hateful way. So,
yeah.
I mean, like the first part of the career is good, and then he just kind of tapers off into darkness. You know?
At the end of it, you're just watching like whatever the Seagal PD show is. Like, I'm out of, I can't watch any of the shows. I'm having to watch season four.
Yeah.
Of this.
Yeah. Yeah. What is, yeah.
Come here. I can break your arm in one move. Come here, man.
Yeah.
Like, no, I'm DMX, fine.
Get in here. All right, I've got, since I did that first one, I got two left, but we'll just do it. I'll pick one for one of these two. What is something that you feel is underrated right now that needs more love?
Underrated that needs more love.
Yeah, like something that some people don't like or shit on that you're like, why are you shitting on it? My friend posted that he loves Creed and everyone shits on Creed, but I think people are right on that one.
Yeah.
Fuck Creed.
Yeah, it's not good. It wasn't great. I mean, I don't know. Well, let me think. They shit on it. It's actually not bad. Let's say if they're hurting right now and about to get Me Too'd, I'll go back into wrestling. I'll double down on wrestling. Quit shitting on wrestling. Check it out. Do like, you know, you don't have to watch the whole show. Just do like a 25, maybe two commercial breaks. Little 10-15 minute watch session, and if you don't, at least laugh or go, damn, that was crazy, or like, this is the dumbest shit I've ever seen, which is, that's the point of this whole deal.
That's why I like it, is it's about, like now with no crowds, it is kind of really hard to watch, just so I'm like, you need those like psychopath fans out there and stuff, because when they cut to the crowd, it's hilarious, like, you know, I mean, like, it's just out there going nuts.
Yeah, I would say, you know, I mean, just don't take it so seriously. And like, you know, I guarantee you people aren't sitting at home like with like a matchbook or something. It's like, God dang it, I lost the overs on this damn tag team match. Like, they're not, it's not that serious.
He did a flying kick. He's not even supposed to do that move.
Yeah, he's supposed to have a torn ACL. This is bullshit.
Yeah, it doesn't work out. Well, I'm going to do this bonus question just because it's wrestling related and it's short. It's the fun Mary, fuck, kill.
Oh,
Mary,
shit.
Mary, fuck, kill. Macho Man Randy Savage.
Oh, no.
Sting the Undertaker.
Oh, no. I'd marry Macho Man.
Oh, yeah. He's got the best personality. Yeah, and you know you're going to have a good time.
Yeah, you know he's going to say yes.
Yeah. At the wedding. Oh, yeah. He only said oh no once.
I'd kill Sting because I don't think I could. I mean, I think I would do it, and then he'd wake back up and, like, beat me to death. I guess that'd probably be The Undertaker. Yeah. But I'd fuck The Undertaker because he's got, like, that nice little ponytail back there.
It's like, just pull on it.
He might come out. I don't know. Like, some sort of weird necrophiliac type deal that, I don't know, maybe I have it, maybe I don't, but it'd be cool to try it out with The Undertaker. I don't know what I've exposed myself to here, but...
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
They all kind of have that same skullet, mullet hair.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's like the wrestling move. So, like you're either that guy or you're the bald guy, like the Goldberg or whatever and stuff. Because if you start losing your hair, you can't keep that skullet thing going on there.
Yeah, headbands and a bunch of paint.
Yeah, you're going to look like Bret Michaels or something.
Yeah. Yeah, fuck The Undertaker. I watched the WrestleMania with no fans. It was like a...
Oh, yeah.
Gravesite deal. It was like a buried alive.
How much did that cost on a pay-per-view?
So I didn't have to pay pay-per-view.
Oh.
I
went to like Buffalo Wild Wings?
No, I didn't. Yeah, I was at Buffalo. No. A couple buddies of mine, we split it. It's like the WWE Network. We split it. X amount of ways.
And you have so many logins. It's like people with Disney Plus or Netflix or something.
They don't really give a shit about the logins, but I think that there's like rumor that if people are like, that's like kind of sensitive information.
Like, don't talk about it. Yeah. Don't abuse it. You know, it's just like,
so I got to watch it with that. And yeah, I guess I'd fuck The Undertaker because there was a whole lot of grunting without any of the fan interaction. And it was like, damn, that was really erotic.
You just take away the fans, and it's just this low-rate porno.
Like, yeah. It's like, if you aren't in the room actually watching what's going on, you're like, God, what is going on?
Yeah,
is someone having trouble moving something? Like, what's happening in there? Someone...
It's just so awkward with the... Was it your mom's house or whatever and stuff? Like, I'll have that podcast on sometime, like, on the YouTube in the living room, and then they just cut to all these, like,
horrible,
disgusting
story.
It's like,
yeah,
why don't you fuck me in the ass? And it's just like, and that's like, man, I'm like, I wonder where our neighbors think of this and stuff. Like, it's like, there's a real sicko next door and stuff. And it's just like, you know, I just love the way that plays.
Well, we're getting deep into character analysis here on just episode 2. So everyone out there knows that, hey, I'm hot for The Undertaker.
Yeah. We're going to work on shirts. We'll get some merch going and stuff. So, like, the first shirt I'm going to do, because when I was editing this first episode, I just say and stuff like people say like. And so, like, there's going to be an and stuff shirt.
Okay.
And then I was thinking we'd do, like, I mean, there's a bunch of different things we could do. We can definitely do you and The Undertaker.
I'm burying him, like, burying his face.
You got his
in
hand
some dirt.
He has his hand on his, like, with his hair while your other, his face is in the dirt. Like, then, like, from the first episode, like, we do our billboards of what God would say, because mine would be like, he's definitely cheating on you, God, and then and just to make ladies think and stuff when they're driving around.
Yeah, like, yeah, that would, yeah, just turning women into road rage people just by one sign. I know
oh,
he is God.
You were talking to Sharon, weren't
bastard?
You
bastard. He's at work. I'm going to his work, that bastard. God told me.
Yeah, like, this is slow starting on this. Like, we just started with the email and the Instagram, but probably a few episodes in, we will get into, like, the merch, the Patreon, all that fun stuff. And this is the last episode where we don't have a guest. We were each other's guest. And so the next time we do this, after I get this, I'll take a picture and put it on Instagram in the studio, but we still need to get a third mic set up or whatever for when we have a guest. And when we do that, then it'll be fun. We'll have a new guest each time, and then we'll get to kind of split up and talk. I don't know, change the dynamic a little bit.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun.
Absolutely.
But as we are coming to this episode, as we like to end this, I have a small vinyl collection here, and I have the guest choose a vinyl of their liking or hatred, whatever they decide to choose.
Yeah.
And Caleb, it looks like you chose some Talking Heads.
Yeah, Talking Heads, Speaking in Tongues. Love this whole album. It's freaking awesome. Yeah, just one of my favorites. The last song on the side B was my wedding song with my first dance with my wife. So love Talking Heads. Saw this. Just love the shit out of David Byrne and company. So.
Oh yeah, Talking Heads, man. That's a good choice. Like that's still one of the best like concert.
These are all bangers too.
This concert. That album's great. Like yes, that was fantastic. One of the. I think I found that used at like Ralph's Records or at like the Hastings or whatever before it shut down completely. And and got it for fairly cheap. And it's a great album. Like I love that music documentary or that music performance thing that was it Jonathan Demme directed?
Yeah.
The Stop Making Sense.
Sense. Yep.
And like got a bunch of stuff on it. But yeah, it's a solid album. And that was gonna be my guess for like I was like, if Caleb's looking through my stuff, what is he gonna pick? I'm like, he's gonna pick the Talking Heads. Like because I only know that because I think I've seen that vinyl in your house. So
yeah. I don't think I have this vinyl, but I've got a 7-inch of the Stop Making Sense.
Oh, okay. That's probably what it was. I just remember, I think we were at your house after a show or something. And
that was for my jukebox. I have kind of a not functioning jukebox, but a whole lot of 7-inch tracks to put in there, double-sided, and it's a couple of songs off of the Stop Making Sense live recording.
So. Hell yeah. Well, man, this is a solid episode. I had a good time. I thought you had a good first set, and it's really fun that we get to go and like go back and look at this stuff because
I'm excited. I was it was hard for me to kind of get it recorded. I don't know. I kind of like walked out of the room a couple times and went back. So I don't know. It's just weird listening to yourself and them just being like, man, I don't know. It kind of weirded me out that it was like over 9 years ago. I didn't think it was that long. But
yeah, and you constantly judge yourself, and so you're just like I don't sound like this. What is this? It's just like I'm like I made that joke funny. You know, just like you're just always second guessing yourself every time. Because I mean, if you're not doing comedy, you know, you're not beating yourself up all the time because you know there's so much rejection in this industry and stuff. So like you have to go back and look at it because the only way you're going to get better is if you like cut down and just like, I don't know exactly what I did wrong here. And then, looking at the old stuff, it's fun. It's fun to go back and look at it. Like I would say that this is like this podcast is like, you're on a date and you bring your girlfriend back home to your mom's house and then she shows you your baby pictures, but now your baby pictures are all covered in shit, you know? So like,
caveat after caveat, bring it on.
But yeah, this is a good episode. This is First Stage episode 2, Caleb Davis's first set. We want to thank you guys for listening, and we'll be back soon. If we're not back in a week, we will be at least back in 2 weeks. It's just about getting the studio set up, and there's like other stuff to go in. And you know, we're in the middle of a pandemic, so you know, you never know, the world might blow up. But I want to thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one.